Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Lee Preston. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Lee is the founder of Shadow of His Wings Ministry. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. Today's broadcast, Healing Hidden Wounds with Lee Preston, focuses on helping individuals who struggle with unwanted same-sex attraction. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Lee on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. It's great to have you here with us. Let me just make another reminder as we are kind of entering into the summer months. We are a listener-supported broadcast, and we are so thankful for those of you who have come alongside of us to support us through this outreach. We are reaching over 25,000 listeners a week, and so that's very exciting that there are people all around the globe that are listening to this broadcast and getting encouraged and learning what it means to live every single day in biblical sexual purity. And if you'd like to learn more about how you can give to this ministry, whether financially or through prayer or other means, you can just go to our website at puresexradio.com. And right there on the homepage, there is a link that says make a donation, and you can find out all the ways in which you can support this ministry. Well, this week we are coming at you with our Healing Hidden Wounds segment, and I am Jonathan, your host, and I'm here with Lee. How you doing, Lee?
I'm good, Jonathan.
Good. Well, we are going to be talking about a very interesting topic here. Actually, Lee, you had somebody that had suggested we maybe talk about this on the radio, and the issue is that of bisexuality and maybe kind of beginning to learn what it is and maybe how a person could overcome it.
Sure. Well, It was a question from a listener that was just kind of discussing what happens if I have same-sex attraction, but I'm still attracted to women, and what does that mean? And is that bisexuality, and is there such thing as bisexuality?
Well, and what was your answer?
Well, I think my first and foremost answer would be I don't think there's any such thing as bisexuality. I just don't think it exists. I think, as we've mentioned on this show quite a few times, sexuality in and of itself falls along a continuum. And so there may be times when a man who is, or a boy as he grows up, is still heterosexually attracted, still has attraction to girls, still is interested in dating girls, but also begins to develop this secret, usually secret, attraction to boys, other guys.
And so would you say that sometimes terms like bisexuality, homosexuality, lesbian, these sort of things are maybe more of just human nature's attempt to label things that go outside the parameters that God has deemed appropriate for our sexuality?
Sure. I think the culture wants to always come up with a label that can say, well, this is how we understand this.
So they can be identified in that way rather than just saying, hey, I've felt attracted to both men and women, and I need to know how to label that so then I can have something to attach myself to, rather than just saying, you know what, I've had fantasies and even maybe some behaviors that have stretched outside the boundaries that God has set is right.
Most definitely. I mean, even now in among our teens, in this, the current teen generation, new words are popping up, like bi-curious, bi-experimental. And these are, you know, guys who are saying, and females, girls, of course, who are saying, I'm not so sure what I am. I'm willing to try either side. I mean, Satan's not all-knowing, but he is smart, and he's watched us for generations, and he sees what he can kind of wiggle in and what he can't.
So you're saying there's new terms that are coming up that are trying to reject a label, but by making the new terms, aren't they labeling themselves?
Most definitely. But it's supposed to be a more politically correct label, because if I'm bi-curious, that means if I have sex with another guy and yet I still have my girlfriend on the side, then that's okay, because I was just curious, and so I wanted to see what it might feel like to have sex with a guy. Or if it's a girl having sex with another girl, it can be bi-experimental, because now I'm just kind of experimenting. I'm not saying I'm gay yet, and I'm not saying that I am strictly heterosexual. I just have this kind of genderless, ambiguous sexuality that makes me feel good, because then I can do anything with anybody and not feel labeled.
But now I'm really confused, because I have a lot of the propaganda that I hear from the homosexual community is, you can't help it. You're born homosexual. So how could you be bi-curious or bi-experimental? Wouldn't you just know that you're homosexual, or that you're, I don't know, bisexual? Wouldn't you just, because apparently from the homosexual community, the message we're getting is, you got to be who you are. You can't help it.
Well, sure, but now they can say, well, that these are for those people who don't ever quite say that they're gay. They were just experimenting, or they were just curious. And so now I'm born this way because I like having sex with men, some might say, and some women might say, I'm born lesbian because I like having sex with women. But for those of you who fell in between, who always used to say, well, maybe I'm bisexual, or maybe I'm not so sure. I've had 3 or 4 homosexual relationships, but I also date women. This was kind of I see it as potentially a way of saying, oh, well, this is for all those in between.
Yeah. And so, and for those of you listeners, I hope you understand that obviously we totally reject the idea that somebody is born homosexual. I totally reject the idea that somehow bisexuality is okay, or that bi-curious or bi-experimental is somehow, oh, that's okay. No, I mean, I think, Lee, you'd agree with me, there are very clear standards for where and how our sexuality is to be used.
Most definitely, and you're exactly right, and I'm glad you clarified that, because we never want to give an impression that we believe homosexuality is okay, or that bi-curiousness is okay, or that bisexuality is okay. What it is basically is anytime we venture away from the God-ordained definition of sex, which is within the bonds of marriage of one man and one woman, then the world will begin to try to come up with labels that make that feel better. But the truth is there is no homosexuality, there is no bisexuality that's within God's will. It's all sexual sin that falls along a continuum.
Yeah, and that's what I'd like you to talk about, is kind of this continuum, because if there is this continuum, and obviously there's this section of this continuum in which we are inside those boundaries of what God has said is healthy and right, which we believe is in the context of marriage between one man and one woman in a covenant relationship, and so therefore within those boundaries, God has said, you know, there is your, in essence, sexual playground. That's where you can have fun, enjoy this wonderful gift that I've given to you in sexuality. And it's meant to be used as a way to enhance and increase the bond of love in your relationship. And it's also to be, and actually in a mysterious way, it's a symbol of the type of intimacy with which God has joined us together with himself through Christ. There's this inseparable sort of bond of love that he's given between the church and Jesus. And so, but then along this continuum, there's all these other things that go outside of those boundaries. And why don't you help us understand, how's it even possible for a person to get to a point where they could begin to think these thoughts that maybe I'm bisexual?
Well, you know, I think to just kind of put a possibility out there is, you take a little boy, he's growing up. He's got a bit of a father wound. Maybe dad's not around very often. Maybe mom is overconnected to him. Some of the things we talked about that causes some of the homosexual feelings to begin with. And so he's got this going on in his life, and yet it's not as intense, or maybe it's not as hurtful. Maybe he's also got a strong grandpa in the picture who helps in that wounding or some of those things. But at any rate, he's got a bit of a wounding, and so Or maybe it's his identity about his own body. Maybe he begins to question what, you know, wow, do I really look like other guys? Maybe he questions, am I really like other guys? But yet he kind of knows he's got some attraction to girls. I mean, I remember in my adolescence I had attraction to girls, but there was still a lot of questions. But the thing is at some point there's this ambiguity. It's just kind of this question mark that he knows he's attracted, but he's thinking maybe I don't quite fit in as a boy. And that can either go further to the homosexual side or it can kind of stay there and he can kind of experiment with girls while he's got this feeling inside, well, I still am somewhat attracted to men, but what he's really attracted to is their masculinity. Do I really look like that? Do I really, can I ever really relate on that level?
And I would assume that none of this that's going on inside of his mind is shared with anybody that could give him reasonable answers.
Oh, yes, because as we talked on a show previous, there's this perfectionist thing going on that's saying, I can't share this with anybody because I want to be known as a guy who's attracted to girls. I don't want to be known as a guy who's attracted to guys. Now, that changes a little bit in our recent, you know, generations because it's becoming more and more acceptable to be gay. But it's still kind of this, wow, I don't even know who I'd talk to about this. Maybe he talks to somebody, but he talks to somebody who believes in bisexuality or in bicuriousness. And so before he knows it, he's got a teacher telling him, well, you should try it out on both sides and see what feels better to you. And it kind of opens that door a little further for him.
Yeah, and I would even say that a lot of times in those situations, that person is going to begin to kind of hunt for somebody who might be able to confirm some of those feelings, not necessarily reject them. Because again, like we've said in a previous broadcast about the idea of perfectionism, man, rejection is a huge, huge issue for these boys.
Sure.
And they will avoid and run from a rejecting sort of relationship or situation. So if they already have the assumption that if I were to share this with my parents, then they would reject these feelings in me, he won't even open his mouth about the situation with his parents. But if he starts, like you said, kind of hanging around these people who he's kind of heard conversations where they're saying, hey, I'm experimenting with this and that, then they're going to gravitate towards those people so they won't feel, quote unquote, weird
right,
to bring this up. And a lot of times that's just only going to fan the flames of this curiosity of some of those feelings, because these people are certainly going to confirm what he's feeling and saying, oh yeah, you absolutely should experiment with that. I think this is you're blossoming. This is how you're becoming who you're supposed to be. And it's like, I would almost say that even in our culture today, there is a forced sort of pressure that is now being put on young people to experiment with their sexuality. Whereas maybe 20 or 30 years ago, there was more of that pressure was kind of from an internal mechanism within these kids that are saying, I feel like I'm going to experiment and kind of cross the boundaries. Now it's almost like culturally they're saying, you're a goofball if you don't experiment with your sexuality.
Exactly. And you're right. 30 years ago when I was 12, nobody wanted to be gay.
Right.
And so everything was kept under wraps. And if you were even thinking you might be, then you didn't want to talk about it to anybody. Now it's more of a, you're right, we've got an experimental group over here. Guys, you know, even guys and girls sit around and talk about it sometimes at lunch. Sometimes there's a gay student union on campus at their junior high or high school that says, hey, we accept gay and bicurious. Well, there's an open door right there I need to go find out more information about this. And so it kind of opens that door even further.
But if we're talking here about bisexuality specifically, you know, what keeps those individuals who kind of believe they're in this category of bisexuality, what keeps them from just kind of leaping all the way over to homosexuality?
Well, sometimes it is truly still because of just the stigma. I mean, as much as we say it may be, you know, the schools are starting to, our kids are starting to accept it a little bit more, there's still some stigma attached to it. And I've even heard plenty of times before where a guy will say he's bisexual because he does still have some attraction to women, but it's easier to be bisexual than it is to be homosexual or to be gay. It's like once you're gay, you're completely attracted to guys, and you can never really go back over to the other side. And I think sometimes that's just that stigma itself makes it hard.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to ask you, too, how much of this involves addictive behaviors? Because would you, I mean, are all bisexuals sexual addicts?
Certainly not. Just like you couldn't say probably that, you know, every homosexual is homosexually addicted. But there is an addiction quality, I think, there, because they've already probably begun using porn or masturbation or fantasy, something to kind of build this bisexual part of them. Because if it's there, they're going to start looking. And something we haven't talked about yet either is even childhood sexual abuse. Sometimes there's male-on-male sexual abuse that occurs, and this kid grows up, and sometimes it's not adult to child, sometimes it's child to child. Sometimes it's a 12-year-old friend with a 12-year-old friend, and they end up experimenting, and you know, you touch mine, I'll touch yours, and it leads to other sexual acts, and before they know it, you know, they meet, you know, every couple of days after school, and this activity starts. But it doesn't necessarily make, you know, this guy's thinking, wow, does this make me gay? Well, not necessarily. He may still be attracted to women. He just may only know male sex at this point. Right. And so that can cause some of this bisexuality as well.
So at best, we're talking about a very confused person, somebody who along the way became very confused about their sexuality. And some of that can be due to some abuse. Some of it can be due to the dysfunction in their family. Some of it can be due to that, like we'd mentioned before, about performance-based environment. But at some point in time, especially as this kid is growing up and begins to get into adulthood, how does that begin to affect his decisions about relationships? If he's confused to the point where he says, listen, I like men and women, and how do you pursue or even entertain the idea of going into relationships with someone if you've got this very confused view of sexuality?
Well, it's amazing how we can talk ourselves into and out of things as we feel the need to. And I think sometimes it depends on the pressure around that guy. You know, if he's got parental pressure to not be gay, if he's got parental or church pressure to not be gay, if he's got friend pressure to not be gay, and he even has some internal pressure that says, man, I always wanted to have a wife and 2.3 kids and the 2-car garage, and I've always wanted that dream, then he may press into more of the relationships with girls and begin to veer down that path, again, out of either performance-based or just because of his own dreams that he'd like to have. But he never dealt with that same-sex issue down below, so he's probably still having issues of being attracted. And so he kind of lives this double life even deeper. And so he kind of wonders, okay, what am I really doing here?
Well, and then I'm imagining this guy that then, okay, let's say he gets married and he starts kind of going down this path of the dream, that at least whether it was his or that it was imposed upon him, starts going down this path. How can he resolve, if at all, this continued confusion regarding his sexuality? Because I would imagine at some point in time, just like any of the rest of us that have developed secret sexually addictive behaviors or had secret sexual delusions about what our sexuality was intended for, it doesn't matter if you get married. They're still there until you resolve them. And so I'd imagine this guy, some point along the way, these are going to crop up again. And what is this guy typically going to do?
Well, he's going to lead a secret life. He's going to be in a marriage, but he's going to probably, if he can't get to a computer, or if he chooses not to go to a computer, he may fantasize. He may, you know, watch certain channels on TV that he can fantasize about later and masturbate. He may end up getting actually into internet porn. He may end up getting into relationship with a guy. It's all secret, so he can maintain this marriage and also kind of live this double life. Or he may, like I said, he may only stay with fantasy, but he lives this double, very conflicted life of, you know, I want to be close to my wife, but I've also got this issue still kind of bubbling beneath the surface.
Where would you put, let's get back just for a second to this continuum again, this continuum of sexuality. Where would you put, bisexuality on that continuum, if you were to kind of lay out for our listeners what the continuum looks like of human sexuality, where might you place bisexuality on that continuum?
Well, I think you have complete heterosexual sex within the bonds of marriage, as God intended for it to be, on the very far end of the left side of the scale. And I think as you move towards the end, you have perhaps heterosexuality that's mixed in with prostitution, that's mixed in ultimately with affairs, that's mixed in ultimately with swinging, and then swinging kind of ventures into, I watch men having sex with other women, and then there's the homosexuality piece that kind of starts getting interjected there, where I've got this wounding where, you know, but it's really, you know, it's kind of a bisexuality phase at this point. Because I've had plenty of guys I've worked with that once they hear my story that I came out of same-sex attraction, then they start kind of confessing some of these same-sex experiences that they had that they've never told anybody about. You know, yeah, I was in swinging for a while. Yeah, this guy ended up having sex with me while his wife watched, and we did these things and those sorts of things. And so you begin opening that door, you see that kind of continuum of heterosexuality leading into bisexuality, which also ultimately leads to the far end, which is homosexuality. And then past homosexuality, you get into child and then animal and those sorts of things.
Okay, because I think that's going to really be helpful for our listeners to kind of see where that, how that continuum works. Because also, I think we all want to kind of know in our dysfunctional thinking, well, where do I kind of fall on this continuum? And again, reminding our listeners that we all fall short.
Sure.
You know, but I do think there are, I think there are definitely degrees to which we can engage our depravity.
Sure.
And I think that's, I'll make no bones about it. You know, bestiality is worse than pornography.
Right. Right, and is it worse sin? I don't think God sees it worse.
No.
But what he does is he sees the consequences as worse, because as you open yourself up more and more to the more the far end of the scale, then you have much deeper, much more devastating consequences. And so God begins to try to go in and heal those consequences as you begin to clean up. But let's be honest, the more dirt you have on you, the more you got to get cleaned up. If you've gone into just a little bit of dirt and you have it just around your fingernails, you got to clean that up a little bit. But once it's all over you, then you got a lot of cleaning up to do.
Yeah, and that's the point I wanted to try to make, is that along this continuum, the further along the continuum you go, the more entrenched and bound you are in that sin. And that's really what I want the listeners to realize is, listen, When you start thinking these bisexual thoughts, when you start entertaining these thoughts of crossing over lines of heterosexuality into homosexuality, it's a very serious thing in terms of, like you said, the dirt that is being put into your soul, into your life, and I want to spend the last couple minutes here giving some hope, maybe some ideas or just some encouragement to our listeners of how do they resolve this sort of thinking. If they've gotten into the mode of thinking of bi-curious or bi-experimental, or I just say I'm bisexual, how can that be resolved to a point where we can get back to that healthy part of the continuum in the way in which God designed our sexuality?
Well, the first thing is to don't carry more shame just because you've had sex with men. You know what? If you've had some abuse issues as a child, if you did experiment, if you got into porn, you know, don't carry the shame. Just acknowledge that it's there and then begin to start looking at what was the wounding that took you there. Because my honest belief is that, you know, guys out there, they have legitimate needs that just were never met. And so what they try to do is they meet a legitimate need with an illegitimate solution.
Right.
And homosexuality, bisexuality, sex with prostitutes, male, female, heterosexual addiction, it's all an illegitimate way of meeting a legitimate need. So don't get so shamed. Try not to go to the shame place, but begin to look at, what was it about me? What is the hurt in my heart that led me to begin doing this? What would get me into swinging in the first place if swinging led me to begin having some same-sex relationships? What led me there? And most of the time what you'll find is a real broken, wounded heart that just needed honest love from a father and honest love from a mother, and there's just some wounding mixed in there. And maybe there's sexual abuse wounding. Maybe there's some rejection by peers as you were growing up in school. All these things tend to work together. But the great thing is the great healer, Jesus Christ, he can come into those places and begin revealing those hurts. Don't give in to the thing, well, I must be bisexual, so I got to live that way. Because that's not true. What you are is you're hurt, and you're living bisexually because it's helped soothing over those pains temporarily.
Absolutely. And I would even add to that and say that, you know, in Christ, in God, we have the perfect father-mother combination.
Amen.
I mean, we have the perfect father. He has all the father and mother characteristics. And so he's going to be able to bring those things into your life in the way that your earthly father and mother never could. Not to say that he doesn't want to heal even those relationships, but we want you to look first to God as your father. Look to God as your healer. And what's amazing to me is that as we start to do that, the very way in which you think about your sexuality, the very way in which you think about yourself can change, because you'll begin to see yourself the way God sees you, which is in Christ, a totally redeemed, totally forgiven, totally clean person. And that can change everything about how you not only see your sexuality, but also how you begin to express your sexuality. We hope that this has been an encouraging broadcast to you. We are here to help you. So if you've got more questions or you just need some more encouragement in your journey of learning how to connect with other people in a way that's going to get you on the right path toward recovery, please contact us. We're going to give you that information here in just a second. Again, we're glad you've been with us, and we'll see you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Today's Purity Pointer, making a point that makes a difference. Brought to you by Pure Sex Radio.
Protect your heart. Every behavior originates from the heart. Proverbs 4:23 states, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." If you muddy your heart with porn and sexually inappropriate ideas, your behaviors will follow suit. We need to be vigilant in protecting our heart from these sinful influences. May we come to echo the cry of King David when he wrote, "Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil, to take part in wicked deeds." Keep your heart pure, and its overflow will bless you and all those around you. Protect your heart today.
Purity Pointer is a service of Pure Sex Radio. Listen to more Purity Pointers at puresexradio.com.
You've been listening to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Learn more about our show at puresexradio.com. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Our mailing address is coming up. Get your pens ready. You can also contact us by phone at 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-49-PURITY. Our mailing address for your notes and donations is Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 401, San Antonio, Texas 78217. Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.